What were some of the factors that prompted you to, in recent years, reconsider atheism and to come to the conclusion that that there is a intelligence?
It's been entirely these, I suppose, biological discoveries and discoveries about the chemistry.
So
It's these things.
the complexity and
Yeah, the integrated complexity argument.
now, when you talk about the integrated complexity,
Yeah.
is it the unlikelihood of that developing naturalistically, the first complex integrated biological system? Is that where the problem you saw?
Well, yes, because after all, there is a problem about even, well, of physical nature. There's a, it's if the integrated complexity of the physical world is a good reason, as Einstein clearly thought it was, of believing that there was an intelligence behind it, then this argument applies a fortiori with the inordinately greater integrated complexity of the living world. It seems to me is this is just obvious that that argument is much stronger now.
And this was one of the factors that led you to conclude there must be an intelligence.
It was accepting Einstein, who after all was the person who's qualified to judge, and seeing that a fortiori this applied, where of course Einstein didn't have any authority at all and wasn't inclined reasonably enough to talk about it.
Yeah. What qualities would you say that intelligence reflects or has? In other words, is this a omniscient intelligence? Is it a omnipotent intelligence? What qualities would you ascribe to it?
Well, you'd have to subscribe omnipotence if it was going to do anything. And I don't think one's entitled to infer anything else. Above all, one's not entitled to infer that he is, like the God of Islam, very eager to conquer the world.
What about eternality or the eternal nature? Would this
I should have thought so, because I mean, to be omnipotent and not doing anything, and yet to exercise your omnipotence and then sort of rub your hands and say, "That's that," and go away, it looks to me as if you can't really separate the eternity from the omnipotence.
So, if we're saying this is an omnipotent, intelligent, eternal, omniscient, those qualities you'd certainly agree
I think
to.
that's right, yes.
But what about personal? Is this a personal force or being?
Yes. Well, you're suggesting activity. It's very hard to think of a conscience, a con, a conscious omnipotence that doesn't do anything. I don't.
So if this being is doing something, then it must be personal in some sense.
I should have thought that, sir, but this is completely new to me. I haven't even begun to think about this book that I'm certainly not going to attempt to
We're
write.
going to get you to write
Oh, no, you're not.
it. So we have a powerful, intelligent, eternal, would you call this a being?
I think so, yes.
A being who may or may not be personal in the sense of conscious, or would he be?
I think he's got to be conscious
okay.
if he's going to be an agent.
Okay.
You know, we're producing, I hope I'll see the script of this sometime.
You're thinking about it as we go.
Well, yes. You know, I'm not going to write the book, but I'm I'm very interested in what we're talking about now.
Yeah. If this, is this being knowable by us, do you think?
Well, we are presumably thinking that we know of his existence. Mm. And as there doesn't seem to be anything else to know about him other than what we've suggested, we've apparently got all the knowledge of this being that's going to be available.
Would this, would your view of this being be a deistic kind of view, that he's not involved in human affairs?
Oh, emphatically, yes, yes. I don't see why there's any reason for him to be discontented in any way with what he's already produced, human beings as they are. But to be, as it were, thinking, now we can get on with the real business of converting them to some religion, or punishing them for not following. You know, the whole idea of this being thinking, well, the whole point of creating a universe is, in the case of Islam, to have the satisfaction of torturing some of its members forever. But then, as I say, I have no respect for Islam as a system of thought, after all. Whereas Christianity had two things. A first-rate philosophical intellect in St. Paul, knowing all the relevant languages and all the things about the ancient world and the ancient civilization, and the defining instance of a charismatic figure in Jesus Christ.
Now, it seems to me that this being created all that is, but you seem to be going a step further, because you're saying that the integrated complexity of organisms is evidence, perhaps, of this intelligence. So he didn't just create the universe, but he's also been involved in the creation of life.
Oh, yeah.
So you perhaps go further than a pure deist who might say he created and then walked away. He was involved later in creating life after the creation of the universe.
Well, he created a universe that was going to develop in a certain way. That doesn't mean that he's going to be interested in anything thereafter. What we're postulating him to explain is the creation of the whole shoot as we know it. And I start to get there following Einstein with the basic physical world. But presumably, the being in question would have thought of the whole shoot.
Does this being, do you think, I'm speculating
it's
here.
Its end. If it presumably, it is bound to have an end, isn't it? There'll be, energy will be exhausted.
Do you think the fact that this being created for whatever purpose, a suitable habitat for humankind, does that indicate at all a sense of caring?
Well, I think if we were involved in a discussion for this book, that would have to be considered. Yes, I think that it's a reasonable thing for someone to argue. That doesn't mean it's the right, but it's certainly right for someone to say that. And that is, in fact, what theists would want to say in some way, wouldn't it? The whole purpose of this creation was to produce believers.
Yeah. You mentioned Jesus a little while ago. How do you view him? Who was he? How do you view him?
I don't think I have any view of this. You know, I think this is a defining case of a charismatic figure. Mm. And if one were engaged in a study of charismatic figures, this one would be compared with the major figures in other religions.
Now, you said in 2004 that you hope that there's no afterlife.
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't want to go on forever, and a fortiori, I do not want to be tortured eternally.
Now, a Christian would say that you wouldn't have to be, that if you take that step to say, I believe in this deity, it makes the miraculous more possible, there is historical data for the resurrection. According to Christian teachings, that someone who receives Christ as their forgiver and leader doesn't have to worry about eternity.
No, but I still don't want it.
Really?
No.
Even if there were a heaven?
Well, it depends rather on what the activities were. But if the activities were simply praising God and things of that sort, I'm not very... A continuous service, even a continuous... As I'm totally unmusical, the idea of my father-in-law, I think, would have been very happy about an eternity of first-rate music.
If the Christian God exists, mm-hmm. what would he have to do to convince you of that?
I don't know. After all, I've never thought about this at all. And I'm not eager to start. He would presumably know.
He would know what it would take.
Yes, presumably.
Yeah. I mean, Bertrand Russell, I think, said there's a lack of evidence. But you found enough to believe that there is an intelligence of some sort.
Yes.
So you've come further than he did.
Yes. But circumstances have come further.
New scientific discoveries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been a gigantic advance in the sciences since the death of Bertrand Russell.
Yeah, no question, especially in this area. What reaction have you gotten from atheists when you announced your change in view?
I haven't been much worried about what reaction I got from them. I would have no doubt been aware of more reaction if I was a devoted follower of the internet, but as I am not, I just don't care.
And what's your reception been by Christians?
Well, I don't know that there's been much question of reception. After all, what have I been doing which would involve me in a reception by Christians? Mm.
I think most Christians who truly care about other people would say, here we have a great intellect who was known as one of the great spokespeople for atheism in history. And yet he's come to a new conclusion based on the evidence that he pursued, that there is this entity that we talked about, this being. For Christians who know you and care about you, they would see this as perhaps a step on a road that might bring you to faith in Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
And out of concern for you and love for you and friendship for you, people would feel that. And I know you are aware of that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What would you say to them?
It hasn't actually happened. I'll have to think about it, what I say if they do say something.
I mean, you know that people are praying for you, I would guess. And
I expect so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Does that bother you or concern you or trouble you?
No, I don't. It's not a matter I think about. You know, after all, it's not something you notice. The object of prayer doesn't know anything about it. Hmm. I mean, no doubt people are praying for members of the royal family, but I don't imagine that the Queen devotes much of her energies in a very busy life.
She probably appreciates it.
He probably appreciates it, but...
What would you say is the biggest barrier to you in becoming a believer in Christianity?
I think the doctrine of a future life.
How so?
Well, the doctrine of eternal torment. You know, this hasn't been abandoned by the Roman Catholics. And if I'd been brought up in a Catholic school, I would have presumably been terrorized into belief.
Now, when you were in college, you attended the Socratic Club during the time that C.S. Lewis was heading that up. What were your impressions of him?
He was obviously a major intellectual figure. And one should add, not merely in these religious matters. He was, I believe, a first-rate scholar of English literature. And he, I believe, learned later, he was a member of a small group of academics with similar interests who used to meet regularly in certain pubs, public houses, you know, including one near my old college, St. John's.
Really?
But, you know, there was that aspect of C.S. Lewis which was entirely separate from his Socratic Club aspect.
Did he make Christianity attractive to you at all? Did you become intrigued by it at all through his influence or no?
Well, I was very interested in it. And if I had become religious, that's the religion I would have gone for.